Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude this study of Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, titled Holding Forth the Word of Life. This is part 2 of 2.
The transgender, transfluid, LGBTQ, XYZ, they keep adding letters to that thing. But somebody told me that they're starting to add a P to the end of it for pedo something. What are they called? Pedo love? That means you're into the kids. Now, back in the 80s, we were told they would never legalize gay marriage. Yeah, and that's where you are with pedophilia. What they're going to do is lower the age of consent down to 13. They are, that's what I'm saying. They're trying right now to lower down to 13.
Wow.
I got to throw this in there, it's just a fact. That's what homosexuality has always been.
Yeah.
See, in America, they've created a fictional tale of homosexuality being adults with adults. Homosexuality throughout human history has been older men with younger men. Pederasty is what they call it.
Yeah.
Plato, Socrates, you know, all those guys back in the ancient days openly did it. It's talked about freely. And that's why when you have men like Jerry Sandusky over at State Penn University caught having, finally outed for having sex with young men, some of whom were over the age of 18, but engaging in illegal activities, he just was doing what a lot of these men think is normal. Because they think we're the weird ones. Those of us who stand up for biblical morality, we're the freaks and the weirdos. To them, they're just Darwinian, and they just, you know, whatever feels good, do it. And throughout human history, all the pagans have done it, so let's do it. And that's where they're trying to take us right now. So, standing against that on issues of morality, enough, just right there, you're a light. Then you turn around and do what it says in verse 16, holding forth the word of life. Proactive.
Amen.
Taking the offensive. Going out with the word of God and preaching the word of God. Giving every waitress you tip a tract. Every drive-thru you go through, give them a tract. Everybody who comes to your door, listen to what they have to say. Don't slam the door in their face. And then give them a gospel tract.
Amen.
And in the meantime, learn how to tell people this. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If you will repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that gospel, you can be saved right now.
Amen.
See how easy that was? Everybody in here can be holding forth the word of life by simply doing that. We must live it and preach it.
Amen.
The silence is deadly.
Amen.
And it's deafening. There are people around here that when we've gone door to door, they told us no one from any church has ever knocked on this door. And the ones who say there has been a church, there's one church in the area. One other church. And it's been years ago. Hasn't been recent. Bible believers ought to be Bible propagators. Get yourself some general dollar store Bibles if need be and have them handy and have gospel tracts. Give them a gospel tract, and if someone needs a Bible, you should have one ready to give to them. Just have them ready. Bible propagators. And Paul says this would make him rejoice at the judgment as far as the Philippian believers were concerned. So that tells you what a wonderful thing it would be if Christians would do that. Just live that way. Now I want to close our study by just looking at this word of life, because in our context, it's the Bible. But Jesus is the Word of Life incarnate. You can't separate the two. When you preach the Word of God, you're preaching Jesus. And when you're preaching Jesus, you're preaching the Word of God. Look, turn over to 1 John, just a few pages from where you're at, if you've got your Bible open. 1 John, epistle. Right after 2 Peter. Right at the first chapter, first verse. And if you keep your finger there in Philippians 2, you'll see the Word of God, or Word of Life, is small w. Now look what we see in verse 1. Read that with me. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of Life. See, John is talking about he and the apostles. They saw Jesus. They heard Jesus. They looked upon Him. They touched Him. Their hands even handled Him of the Word of Life. And I believe he's talking about the resurrected Jesus there. He says, verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. We started by talking about joy. You want to have joy, you better let this sink in. Got to make it real. Open your eyes. Pay attention to what you're being told. Jesus has saved you. That's why He's called the Word of Life. You have eternal life. It should excite you, the thought of dropping dead right now. Oh, it's weird, ain't it? Ain't that weird? True. If you drop dead right now, according to the Word of God, you immediately go in the presence of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The rapture, of course, we like to think of that a little more than dropping dead. Amen?
Yeah.
But sadly, there's some Christians who don't like to think about that. I mean, they've done polls. They've asked people. I've talked to people myself, and I've heard numerous people say, well, you know, the rapture, I believe it, and it's exciting, but, you know, I'm just not really wanting it to happen right this minute. I said, well, Lord have mercy. If He takes my opinion over yours, we're gone. We're out of here.
Amen.
I'm ready.
Amen.
And not just when I'm sick. I mean on my best day. When I feel, I haven't felt like $1 million for quite a while, so I'll say, when I feel like $1,000, I'm up and I'm going, and first thing Jenny says is, don't overdo it. Oh, crazy lady. And then I come walking in a little later, I overdid it. But even on those days, I could, you know, I'm strange and I know it, and no one has to tell me. I could go outside and just sit by myself on a nice clear day reading the Bible, sipping on a nice hot cup of something. It's according to what time of the day, coffee or tea or whatever. Or water. Sometimes I just drink. Anyway, that's... That bore some people to death. And I enjoy that. It's one of my happy moments. My happy times. And as much as I'm enjoying that, having the family around, a little Gloria plan, love it. But I am being honest with you, I tell you, I'm ready to go. I enjoy this. I don't know about you, but I'm having fun. And as much as I enjoy this, rapture. And I'm just telling you, if you understand what's on the other side of that, it's like not wanting to become a billionaire because you're enjoying food stamps. That's the comparison. Not wanting to be raptured because you've got something down here you're enjoying. It's crazy. You just don't understand. You don't know what you're getting ready to see and experience. It should be overwhelming. And you don't have one without the other when it comes to the Word of Life. You've got the Word of Life right there. You got a Bible? You've got the Word of Life.
Amen.
You know, that's the closest you're going to come to touching Jesus in this lifetime right there.
Amen.
Amen.
People get all into emotions and feeling and experiences. No. None of that tops the words of this book. Because emotions and experiences, you may be fooled. It may not be the Lord. Only you can figure that out. But we don't have to figure anything out when it comes to this book. This is God's Word, every single letter of it.
Amen.
Amen.
And you'll fall in love with this book the more you realize this is as close as you get to Jesus before the rapture.
Amen. Amen.
These are the words of life. They'll change you.
Amen.
They'll give you the joy you're missing.
Amen.
It's all about you believing it. The Bible says you must receive the Word of God, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh in those who believe.
Amen.
So if you won't read it, believing it, receiving it, then it won't produce joy. But if you will, it will. And I love how we read this. I want to go one more place over in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Man, I loved how this played out in Acts chapter 5. This is leading up to Paul's conversion. And we're going to start in verse 14. I'll start in verse 13 while you turn there. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, ha, love it, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's why if you live the Spirit-filled life, you fill yourself with the Word of God, you get on fire for God, people are going to think, wow, that guy really seems to have been with Jesus. Verse 14, read that. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. I'm in the wrong chapter. Isn't that wild? You know, I jumped to verse 13 because it fits exactly what I was talking about in chapter 5. Yeah. All right, starting verse 14, I'll read that. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Verse 15, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. This is back when this is the sign gifts, and just Peter's shadow crossing a sick person, they'd be healed. Verse 16, there came also a multitude out of the cities around about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. That's why we know the modern faith healers are fake, because they don't heal everybody. And when God's doing it, everybody gets healed. Amen? Now, verse 17 says, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. What a response to seeing people getting healed. Verse 18, and laid their hands on the apostles. We're not talking about prayer here. It means they grabbed hold of them, arrested them, put them in the common prison. Verse 19, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, verse 20, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the what?
Words of life.
The words of this life. I just love that. Because he's saying it in such a literal way that we can understand it. The words of this life, speaking of eternal life. And the life-giving Spirit that was healing people. The words of this life which rose Jesus from the dead. When we preach the gospel, we're preaching the words of this life. This life is the eternal life that you have. It's a present possession. You have it. You're not trying to get it. You're not trying to earn it or even to keep it. You have it. Eternal life. And it went on to tell that these guys were in the temple preaching, and they sent for them in the prison, and when they went there, the prison was empty, and they're out in the temple preaching. A demonstration of the power of God. I just love that. The words of this life. And I just want that to sink in. It's one of those meditation passages. You read that and you just think about it. Pray about it. The words of this life. We have life eternal. An emphasis on that because I see so few people who really live with that knowledge, who really let that sink in. We were talking, I think it was either Stephen or Sean or somebody, I can't remember, we were talking about how so many Christians live as practical atheists. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean by that? They're Christians. I'm not saying they're not saved. But they go day by day as though God's not even there. No relationship. Prayer, Bible study, not talking about Him. As I said, when you're in love with somebody, you drive people crazy talking about Him. You're in love with Jesus, you should be driving people crazy talking about Him. One of the greatest insults you could ever get is for someone to say, "Man, I wish he'd shut up about Jesus." Amen. Oh, she's the Jesus lady. Every time you talk to her, she wants to talk about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Praise the Lord. What a great insult. Not very many people getting insulted like that. And we're simply asked to tell others. And I'm as guilty as anybody about this. I have to pray about this. I find it so easy to talk about the weather. The older you get, the easier that gets. You notice that? Oh, it's so easy to talk about the Buckeyes. Now, we talk about them just as much when they lose, but it's just bad. We murmur and dispute, yeah. Some of us love to talk about dogs, cats, guns. Amen. All these things that we find real easy to talk about. And I'm not to become a prude and never talk about anything else. But we should find it as easy to talk about Jesus. And there's been a couple of times here in this, so many tragedies over the last few months where I've seen people get on TV, and it's been wonderful to hear them when they talked, and it's live so they can't edit it, and the person says, "You know, I just know the Lord Jesus is with us and He will bring comfort." That Jeffers down in Texas, preacher down there, he's done a wonderful job when they put him on TV. Even Franklin Graham had some wonderful things to say. And it's just great to know and to hear there are some people out there who really are letting Jesus be a part of their daily life and not living like practical atheists. And I was going to read that, but I won't skip that. I just want to say, in closing, that even though I've, from time to time, you might even say I lectured you about preaching the gospel, about talking about Jesus, but I don't want you to think, don't go out of here thinking, "I want to do this because the preacher said so. I want to do this so that I can tell the preacher, oh yeah, I talked to someone about the Lord this week." What I'm trying to get across is that I want what God wants. And that is for you to talk about Jesus because you can't help it. For you to talk about Jesus because you're that close to Him. That you love Him that much. That you appreciate what He's done for you that much. that you just talk about Him. Knowing that a lot of people are going to think you're a kook, or at least going to say that about you. And loving Jesus so much that you don't care. Amen? I want this to be about you falling in love with the Lord and talking about someone you're in love with. And there's no better message for the world to hear than that. Let's sing number 106. It's in the hymn book.